Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOL. Juneau's city-owned hospital is in a much better financial position than it has been in years. For the last 8 months, the hospital has been making steady positive income. That's according to Bartlett Regional Hospital's CEO, Joe Wanner, who gave an update on the hospital at the Southeast Alaska Conference's mid-session summit yesterday.
But with the support of the board, the support of the CBJ Assembly, and the support of the community, we were able to right-size the hospital, get back to our core services, and we've kind of turned the corner. We want to refocus on why we are here at Bartlett, and that is to care for patients.
The newfound stability comes less than a year after the hospital announced it had a multi-million dollar budget deficit that threatened bankruptcy. The hospital's board was able to avert bankruptcy, but not without some difficult decisions. It cut back staffing and controversially closed programs like the Rainforest Recovery Center and its new crisis care unit last year. Despite the tumultuous year, Wanner says the hospital is working to expand services in new areas. In late July, the hospital announced the opening of a new orthopedic outpatient specialty clinic, which it says will increase patients' access to orthopedic surgeons in Juneau. The hospital is also gearing up for a multi-million dollar emergency room renovation slated to begin this spring.
What this will do is basically give us a modern ER with negative pressure rooms, let us face some of the modern diseases, such as COVID and all the other things that seem to come off the cruise ships during the summers.
During the speech, Wanner highlighted the hospital's launch of a mobile crisis unit dedicated to assisting people with mental health emergencies. In the first 2 months of operating, its crisis team assisted nearly 60 patients. But he also says that there's still a lot more the hospital needs to do to maintain financial stability into the future. He says it continues to struggle with recruiting and retaining staff. Currently, about 10% of its overall staffing is filled with contract employees, which is driving up costs. The hospital is also dealing with problems with its aging infrastructure and removing asbestos from its buildings. The last time the hospital received a major update was 2 decades ago. And a deadly strain of bird flu is sweeping the nation. It has killed more than 20 million chickens since October, and that has scrambled the egg market. Alaska Public Media's Ava White has more on how Anchorage's businesses are coping with rapid increasing egg prices along with supply problems.
Harrison Scheib opens a shiny refrigerator in an open space kitchen filled with butter, half and half, and neatly stacked cartons of beige and tan eggs.
So on any given day, we'll have 8 of these full stacks down on the bottom row here. We're just taking what we can get right now.
Scheib is a manager at Fire Island Rustic Bake Shop, an artisan bakery with 2 locations in Anchorage. Between both shops, Fire Island uses up to 3,600 eggs each week. That's enough to give 12 people the average number of eggs they consume in an entire year. The state of the egg economy is forcing Anchorage eateries, like Fire Island, to raise prices and rethink recipes. Shortages have prompted some residents to seek locally grown eggs, but local suppliers are struggling to keep up with demand. The company raised the price of macarons 50 cents because they use a lot of egg whites, and they're planning to swap out a scone flavor because it uses egg curd, a thick light custard spread. Scheib says the bakery has been experimenting with some new recipes.
We've been doing a lot of like recipe testing. Something like our croissant uses a lot of eggs, specifically egg yolk. We'll use those egg whites for other things, but it's such a large amount of eggs. We just kind of thought, like, can we cut this down at all?
The bakery's challah bread normally goes through 2 rounds of egg wash, but Scheib says the first round has been swapped with water. He says high prices are a concern, but he's more concerned about the overall availability of eggs. Fire Island previously sourced eggs through a local farm, but now orders through a wholesale distributor. In December, the average nationwide cost of a dozen large grade A eggs was $4.15, according to the Consumer Price Index, a 65% increase from a year earlier. Egg prices are predicted to increase another 20% in 2025, according to the USDA's food price outlook. Eggs are a staple in Matt Martell's pasta, and he buys several 5 dozen packs at a time. He owns Alaska Pasta Company and sells wholesale fresh pasta to restaurants across the city. He says egg prices just keep rising.
I still have to buy them, which is kind of unfortunate, right now the prices have been going up, you know, month after month, week after week, it seems like. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, Costco is $16, and then you go in a week later, and then it's $20. So, I mean, as it's going up, I'm adjusting my prices.
The company raised prices 10 cents per pound of pasta for wholesale customers, and Martel says he'll consider raising prices further to keep up with the cost of eggs. The bird flu outbreak has impacted almost 160 million birds since 2022, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Like Fire Island, Martel says he's more concerned about the availability of eggs than the price. Eggs add rich flavor to the company's noodles, and not having eggs would completely change his product.
Pasta is traditionally like flour and eggs, and that's what it is, and that's what gives it its flavor. So, I mean, that's always been the product that I want to take to restaurants, to take to markets, to sell to people. So without it, it would just feel incomplete.
Although the illness is stressing some businesses, it's benefiting others by spiking the demand for farm fresh eggs. Carrie Ann Smith owns Bush's Bunches Produce Stand in Palmer. The store sells regional food products like seafood, potatoes, and eggs. Bush's sources from 6 egg producers, but Smith says it's hard to keep eggs on the shelves right now.
Lately, we've been keeping lists of people who want eggs, and then they're almost all pre-sold right now. And then if we do have them on the shelf and people see that, they will buy 4 cartons at a time.
Smith says the business has struggled to keep eggs on the shelves for months. She says her customer base has grown, and it's not uncommon for people to drive from Anchorage or Wasilla to get their hands on local eggs. A dozen large-sized local chicken eggs is $10, about $2 more than the grocery store. Almost a dozen reports of the virus have been made in Alaska since 2022, concentrated in the Matanuska-Susitna borough and one facility in the Bethel region. Almost 1,400 birds have been impacted in the state, according to the CDC. In Anchorage, I'm Ava White.
And the Juneau School District appears to be in a better financial position this year. That's after major school closures and staff reductions last year. Superintendent Frank Hauser presented budget projections to the board earlier this week. He says that since the board addressed the district's multi-million dollar budget deficit last year, it should be able to move through the budget process more quickly this year.
Because of the hard decisions that the board made last year and where we're at, and quite honestly, because of some of the unfilled vacancies that we have created some opportunities for us moving forward.
Hauser says the district anticipates approving a budget earlier than other districts across the state because many are grappling with a budget shortfall. The Juneau District faced a nearly $10 million budget deficit last year that resulted in school closures, consolidations, and reduced staff positions. The district added back the equivalent of 40 positions after Governor Mike Dunleavy approved one-time funding later in the year. About 5% of the district's vacant positions were left unfilled this fiscal year. Hauser says he hopes early recruitment means they can hire more staff for next school year. Next year's budget also factors in 3% of positions staying vacant.
Staff across the state and nationwide might be looking for positions, and the hope is we're going to be able to advertise early and be able to hire earlier and get commitments from potential educators and non-certificated employees to where that 5% that we had this year is less, closer to 3% or ideally even less.
If the state's school funding formula stays the same, the district would be left with about $200,000 in its operating budget after expenses. But this doesn't account for grant-funded positions that are ending or additional expenses after union contract negotiations. Hauser says the district could face a potential $1.9 million funding loss if the State Department of Education and Early Development changes regulations on how much local governments can contribute to education. The board will meet this Saturday to continue budget discussions. And Senator Lisa Murkowski voted yesterday to confirm Tulsi Gabbard as President Trump's Director of National Intelligence. She also announced that she intended to vote to confirm Robert Kennedy Jr. as Secretary of Health and Human Services. He was confirmed today. Murkowski says she continues to have concerns about Gabbard, who faced criticism for her friendliness toward dictators. Murkowski, though, said she appreciates Gabbard's commitment to rein in the scope of her office and to protect the civil liberties of American citizens. Senator Dan Sullivan, like most Republicans, voted for all of Trump's nominees. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.